The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, there was agony for Ireland last night after we lost on penalties to Czechia in Prague. After hitting the post twice in normal time, they came up short in the penalty shootout, losing 4-3. Our reporter Henry McKean was in the Fortuna Stadium and met the deflated Irish fans and some very relieved Czech ones too.
Look, it's heartbreaking. There was big buzz with there was big buzz with the fans around Prague there. So, you know, like, it's just a shame to come out and play so well and then lose on penalties. It's just, it's never a nice way to go out. Like,
I'm having a chat with some Czech fans. How are you feeling after that penalty shootout?
Perfect feeling.
A perfect feeling.
Yeah, perfect.
Hey,
there's always another time. We'll go at it again.
We'll go again.
When it came to the penalties, did home advantage win out because of all the, you know, heckling and booing?
If you go up to take a penalty, fair play to you. Like, nobody else can. You can't go up and say no if you're taking a penalty.
We'll be back again.
No matter where we're at. Even though they got beat tonight, the buzz around the whole place is class.
Devastated. Like,
there's no words. Like, we really should have won that game in 90 minutes. It's shocking.
You go everywhere watching them, and you really built up that hope that this was going to be the one. Like, yeah. So, 10,000 Irish in Prague.
Yeah.
You'd officially 1,000 in the stadium, but look, you've seen it yourself. There's probably 4,000 in there. I can't imagine how the players are feeling, because it's going to take a long time for us to get over it. So I don't know how them boys in that dressing room is going to as a Donegal man, standing there seeing Seamus Coleman on the pitch, knowing that he's not going to get to play the World Cup. Like, he's a player of his calibre, doesn't come around too much in Ireland, and for him not to get to play in a World Cup is just, it's devastating.
It is. It's just so hard to take. It's hard to even say anything without using bad language at the minute, but it is what it is. It's football.
You'd feel like using bad language yourself, wouldn't you, after watching it last night? Fan reactions there, people talking to Henry McKean. And I'm joined from Prague now by Off the Ball's Owen Shane. How are you today, Owen?
I'm good, Claire. You couldn't have caught me at a more apt time. I've literally walked past a place called the Museum of Torture here in Prague, and it feels very, very fitting for what every Irish fan is probably going through right now.
Yeah, it just was the early lead, you know. We were so hopeful from the get-go, and then it all just dissipated and disappeared over time.
That's it. Like, it's a well-worn cliche at this point that it is the hope that kills you. And it's true, it's not even the pre-match hope. It's the hope that existed on two significant occasions during the evening. The first, obviously, is going 2-0 up in the game. It's unforgivable, really, to sacrifice a situation where you do have that sort of commanding lead. And the second one is being in such a commanding position in the penalty shootout. When you win the toss where you can go first in penalties, probability is very much on your side.
Mm-hmm.
When you throw a penalty save into the mix as well, you really should be seeing that penalty shootout out. So, in my view, Ireland had that game won twice. And that is the real sickener for the Irish fans this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad into the old blame game, and I see some of it coming through in some of the messages that we're getting today. You know, the decision not to practice the penalties, the Manning's pull of the shirt, which resulted in the Czech penalty. Where is your head at with that this morning?
I think Ireland shouldn't have been in a position to be in a penalty shootout. I think it's a brave situation for any player to go and step up to a penalty.
Yeah.
That doesn't change the fact, though, that when I saw Alan Brown step up to take his penalty, I initially thought back to Ireland's last penalty shootout, which was against Slovakia for Euro 2020. And Alan Brown was one of those who missed a penalty in that situation as well. So, look, you don't want to be pointing fingers at anybody, but I certainly wasn't confident watching him walk up. The fact of the matter is that Sammy Smodix was due to take a penalty. Alan Brown probably wouldn't have been on the penalty takers list had Smodix been on the pitch. But that's just the way things played out. It might have gone to 6 penalties anyway.
How is he, Sammy Smodix, this morning? Because that looked, I mean, I couldn't figure out what exactly happened. And I was reading this morning that if you were in the stadium, the sound of it was awful. But what's the latest on him?
He was conscious last night in Hamer's post-match press conference. He gave an update that he was going to spend the night in hospital. But thankfully, he was conscious. I think there had been some I think some of Hamer's comments might have been misconstrued, maybe due to the fact that English was a second language, and there was some suggestion that maybe he was unconscious in hospital last night, but that didn't seem to be the case whatsoever when he addressed the gathered media immediately after the game. He had come back to consciousness and was okay. You could see his legs moving after a period of time on the pitch. He had his hands to his face as well as he was being stretchered off the field of play, which are things that you look for when these horrific incidences happen on the pitch. So hopefully all is well with him, but he was kept overnight in hospital here in Prague.
And what was it? Was it a head hitting against the shoulder?
It looked like that. You might have actually had a better view of it at home on television than we would have had in the stadium, because it looked relatively innocuous in terms of the moment, and even the sounds that you're talking about there, the sounds weren't really picked up in the press box, I have to say. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a surprise to see him go down, and the referee didn't even give a free kick in the first instance, it seemed, and it was almost when he saw the severity of what had actually happened to the Irish player that he decided to give a free kick to Ireland in the aftermath. So it's an interesting one in terms of what actually happened there, because it did seem fairly innocuous, but obviously a horrific outcome.
Yeah, I mean, notwithstanding the result, I just got this real sense watching it on the screen last night that there was a real fighting Irish team. I mean, the likes of Dara O'Shea, who battled from the start to the finish, never stopped looking to the crowd, bringing them with him. There just seemed to be a really good vibe amongst the team there. There was a real hunger to win.
And I don't think that's something that suddenly gets disregarded now and we forget about before Ireland's next significant game, because I do think there has been a real connection with this team rediscovered over the course of the last 3, 4, 5 games. And I do think that is going to continue into the future. You mentioned Dara O'Shea there. I thought he was outstanding last night. And some of those Irish centre-backs have been magnets for criticisms down through the years because of their perceived inability to play tidy football. But that back three on the ball last night, I thought, were brilliant, particularly during that first half. You saw a couple of fist bumps from Seamus Coleman, from Chidozie Ogbene throughout the night. Mm-hmm. They were really trying to tap into that massive Irish crowd that was there in the stadium last night. And God, they managed to infiltrate so many sections in the home areas of the pitch last night. It was actually quite a surreal vista in the stadium, where you had pockets of empty seats, which had obviously...
We noticed that. What was going on there?
I think that was clearly a consequence of Irish fans buying home tickets and then moving around the stadium to get as close as possible to the home end. I've got it on good authority that it was 3 or 4 people to a seat in the home section that immediately bordered the away section. So okay. The away section, to all intents and purposes, had expanded to double its size.
Right, okay. All safety rules and regulations out the window when Ireland's in town. And listen, we look ahead then to the damp squib that is next Tuesday night. Like, it's a damp squib, but it's a really important game for the likes of Seamus Coleman. It's just hard to get the excitement levels going for it, isn't it?
Oh, without question. It's going to be a game you'll have live here on News Talk, so make sure you're tuning in for that one.
We will.
we'll definitely be able to dress it up come Tuesday. Seamus Coleman, that is kind of the angle on Tuesday night. How many more games does he have in an Ireland jersey is the big question. What you can say with great confidence now is that he will never play in a FIFA World Cup, which is a heartbreaking statement, really, because I think he's one of Ireland's most loved sports people. He is one of Ireland's greatest ever footballers, and he probably deserved to play in a World Cup. But unfortunately, deserves got nothing to do with it when it comes to football. It is the most brutal sport out there. Ireland has been through the ringer in the past. This is the most brutal experience we've had as Irish sports fans since Thierry Henry's handball in 2009. And sadly, the feeling doesn't get any easier 16 years later.
Okay, well, Owen, we'll let you go. We'll see you next week. Thanks for all of your contributions from Prague. Don't go into that museum of torture. Just don't do it to yourself. Keep walking. Thanks so much.
I will do.
Owen Shane.
Take care.
The Clare Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.